And welcome back to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Today's episode is being sponsored by Robinhood. Is your money working as hard as it could be for your future? A decade ago, Robinhood changed the investment landscape when they pioneered commission-free stock trading. Today, they continue to offer innovative products to help users build a better financial future, like IRAs, ETFs, options for qualified traders, and much more. Take control of your financial future with Robinhood. Download the app or visit Robinhood.com to learn more. Disclosure: investment involves risk. Other fees may apply. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, is a registered broker dealer. Now, how many times have you heard this from the Biden administration?
My commitment to the safety of the Jewish people, the security of Israel, and its right to exist as an independent Jewish state is ironclad, even when we disagree.
Come on now. As I said, and as it says in that readout, we made clear, and he made it clear to the prime minister in his call, that our support for Israel's self-defense remains ironclad. They face a range of threats, and the United States isn't going to walk away from helping Israel defend itself.
Well, a new statement that came out from the commander of the Joint Chief of Staff certainly makes it look like our support might not be so ironclad after all. And that's even after the USS Eisenhower has since moved into the Mediterranean Sea, following up operations inside of the Red Sea against the Houthis. Now, the Eisenhower is actually expected to be replaced in the upcoming weeks by the U.S. Theodore Roosevelt, but it's going to take some time for it to get over there. Now, Israel isn't exactly facing the smallest of enemies. Inside of the Gaza Strip, they're facing between 30 to 40,000 Hamas fighters, of which still about 60% currently remain inside Gaza. Now, the IDF says they're wrapping up operations inside Rafah, and we will be going over that here in a little bit. And we're going to be talking about the timeline that it's going to take them to clear out Rafah, how many troops likely they're going to be moving up north, and what this operation is going to look like when they go into Lebanon in order to fight Hezbollah. Now, several reports are circulating online that showing IDF armor moving up into the north, but IDF armor has actually been in the north for quite some time. So what's different and what's changing? Well, to understand that, we have to actually start looking at what's been taking place over the last several weeks. Now, last week, Iran informed the IAEA that it is going to be opening up several new centrifuges inside of their main uranium enrichment plant. Now, Iran plans on adding about 1,400 in total into their new plant. Iran says it's going to take them about 3 to 4 weeks to get all 1,400 centrifuges online and begin enriching uranium. It's already sitting around the 60% level. Now, with that being said, that's going to open up a whole new door of possibilities for Iran. According to this article from Homeland Security Newswire and several other sources, actually, that I've read online, are all pretty much in line with the predictions that come out inside of this article. It says in the first one third of a month, Fordow could produce in 10 IR-6 cascades, 92 kilograms of weapons-grade uranium, enough for three nuclear weapons. By the end of the first month, it could produce a total of 145 kilograms of weapons-grade uranium, enough for five nukes. And by the end of the second month, they could have enough for nine nuclear warheads, or a grand total of 225 kilograms of weapons-grade uranium. Now, none of that would be a big deal except for the commanding general of Iranian ground forces, General Haidari, ended up coming out and stating that Israel is going to face a, and I quote, harsh response from Iran should they choose a ground invasion into Lebanon against Hezbollah. Now, if you've been following this conflict closely, you know that Iran directly supports Hezbollah to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars annually. Just recently, the IRGC came out and said that Hezbollah has over 1 million, I say that again, 1 million rockets. Now, that number also includes thousands of precision-guided munitions that they're capable of shooting into Israel. And we're not just talking about rockets that you launch off the ground either. They also have drones that are capable of firing rockets. They have anti-ship ballistic missiles, along with several other things. As a matter of fact, just last week, Iran ended up firing multiple surface-to-air missiles in an attempt to shoot down Israeli fighter jets that were flying sorties over Lebanon. Just yesterday, Nasrallah ended up coming out saying that they have well over 130,000 fighters and everybody from the Taliban to numerous jihadi groups across Syria and Iraq have pledged their support to come over and help Nasrallah in his fight against the Israeli Defense Force. Now, the Israeli military is currently sitting around 170,000 active duty troops strong. But the thing that you have to understand about that is 170,000 in total active duty troops. That is going to be all of their logistical support and everybody included. Of that number, only about 80,000 of them are actual ground combat forces. That's 80,000 to put on the ground. And multiple brigades are currently tied up inside of Gaza. Now, do not confuse that number of 80,000 to be 80,000 infantrymen. That is also going to include tankers. That is going to include artillery. That is going to include your medics. All of those people will fall under the 80,000 number for ground forces for Israel. Now, Hezbollah doesn't likely have 130,000 of its jihadists stationed right on the border waiting for Israel. And over the last several weeks, Israel has been pounding them from the skies, knocking out logistical hub, knocking out weapons caches, taking out key leaders from Hezbollah. Now, this has put a pretty good dent in Hezbollah, but it's not likely going to affect the overall battle. Further, we can look at Israel having problems with drones coming across the border from Hezbollah as well. Drones have been a very successful weapon and seem to be eluding the Iron Dome almost on a daily basis. Simply put, the Iron Dome wasn't really designed to knock out drones. And last week, the U.S. government was actually looking at providing Israel with some more advanced technology in order to take care of those drones. However, with the Dwight D. Eisenhower entering into the Mediterranean Sea, a lot of people, including myself, have opined saying that the Eisenhower is going to be defending Israel's northern border. But on Sunday, the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff of the United States of America ended up coming out with a different message. According to this article from the Jerusalem Post, Joint Chief of Staff Chairman, U.S. likely unable to assist Israel in war with Hezbollah. He's actually quoted in saying, in the event of a war, Brown said the U.S. would likely not be able to provide the same assistance as it did when Iran carried out a missile and drone attack on Israel earlier this year. He also said it was hard to fend off the shorter range rockets that Hezbollah fires across the border into Israel. So what does that mean, and why are we moving those carrier strike groups into the Med in order to assist Israel? Now, if the Biden administration's goal was to confuse Israel along with the rest of the world as to what the United States is going to do in order to help out Israel, he succeeded. But my assessment essentially remains the same. The United States would help out Israel defending their northern border if it became absolutely necessary. But anything short of absolute necessity in order to help Israel out, the United States likely wouldn't get involved. That's because they don't want to spark a much broader regional conflict, bringing in over 100,000 jihadists between Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon to join in the fight. The U.S. is a big, nasty monster, according to these people, and if the U.S. was involved in this fight, then they would likely pour across the border in order to join Hezbollah in the fight against Israel. With that being said, if Iran decides that they want to intervene in the upcoming conflict between Israel and Hezbollah, we are likely to see U.S. involvement in defending the skies over Israel from future Iranian attacks. So how much time do we have left until Israel actually goes into Lebanon? Well, let's take a look at what's happening inside of Gaza, because troops from inside of Gaza will be reallocated up to the northern border in order to help in the fight. The IDF is mainly focusing right now on operations that are going on inside Rafah on the border of the Sinai Peninsula with Egypt. That's going to be in the southern portion of the Gaza Strip. And so far over the last week, it looks like Israel has actually done some damage inside of Rafah, taking a lot of different terrain. As a matter of fact, they're pushed all the way up to the Al-Mawasi camp for internally displaced persons along the western border over towards the Mediterranean Sea. Now, intelligence came out here in the last, 24 hours or so that got leaked from the IDF saying that Hamas was using old Israeli bombs that failed to detonate during the war inside Gaza, and they are repurposing them to turn them into IEDs in order to target the Israeli Defense Force. Additionally, Hamas released the video that I'm about to show you claiming that they knocked out two IDF tanks inside of Rafah. First, I'm going to show you the video, and then I'm going to talk to you about it and what this actually means for Hamas inside of Rafah. This is going to give us a better idea of just how close the enemy is to being defeated in Gaza's southernmost city. Why is that video so significant, and why should we actually be paying attention to it? Because in the past, Hezbollah has been targeting IDF tanks with rather large munitions. But in my opinion, that explosion itself was likely somewhere in the vicinity of about 10 pounds or less. Now, that size of ammunition normally is used to target personnel and not necessarily armor. Now, this is likely because Israel has shut off the Philadelphia corridor, which would be the border in between Gaza and Egypt. So the Sinai Peninsula essentially is where Hamas was smuggling most of their weapons in from. Tens upon tens of tunnels have been found crossing the border between Egypt and Rafah, which has led the international community to believe that the Egyptian military was likely paid off by Hamas to help smuggle weapons into the Gaza Strip to maintain the war against Israel. You have to remember that Hamas has been fighting a ground war against Israel since late October, and all of that shooting requires resupply. The Israeli Defense Force themselves are upset that the United States has essentially stalled out a bunch of our shipments of munitions to help them in this conflict. Now, the IDF does say that even without U.S. assistance, they have enough munitions stored to finish the war inside Gaza, as well as finish the war with Hezbollah in the north. However, that's not the case for Hamas. So when we start analyzing things, we can look and say that Israel has effectively shut down the main supply route for Hamas, which would be the Philadelphia corridor. That's why they went in there and cut that sucker off and started pushing. Additionally, we have reports coming out of Al-Mawasi that Hamas is trying to reuse IDF bombs that failed to detonate inside Gaza. Then last, a lot of their videos that they're putting out appear to be targeting tanks with munitions that just quite simply put weren't meant to knock out tanks. It is of note that in that video I showed you, there is no aftermath. There is no destroyed tank. Now, Hezbollah is very proud if they destroy an Israeli tank or kill Israeli soldiers. They always show you that, but for some reason in these videos, they're not. Further, Hamas inside of the Gaza Strip has switched to a new tactic of not becoming decisively engaged with the Israeli Defense Force. The IDF has killed roughly 550 plus militants inside of Rafah. Now, Rafah was thought to have been defended by well over 2,000 Hamas fighters. That's four separate battalions of Hamas were said to be inside of Rafah. And the IDF believes that they have dismantled two out of the four, and they're about to finish off the last couple here in the upcoming weeks. So how close is Israel to ultimately defeating Hamas inside of Rafah? Well, truthfully, they're a couple weeks out from knocking it out. That is, if Hamas does not have a resurgence inside Rafah. And I highly doubt they will, because Hamas has been digging in deep up in the northern portion of Gaza, as well as the central portion of Gaza. We likely won't see Hamas commit to fighting the IDF until the IDF is locked down in a ground war with Hezbollah. That will actually work to Hamas's advantage. Now, Netanyahu himself came out and said that just because he is going to continue to fight Hamas doesn't mean he's not going to work on hostage negotiations, but he has a legitimate ironclad commitment when it comes to dismantling Hamas. And Hamas, if they want to have any ceasefire or any peace talks or any hostage negotiations, they're going to have to accept that at the end of the day, Netanyahu is going to continue fighting in Gaza until Hamas is dismantled. And completely and totally dismantled inside Rafah, Hamas probably needs to be. Here inside this video, you can see a Hamas militant hiding in what appears to be an IDP tent and targeting the Israeli Defense Force with a guided munition. But I believe that as long as Israel does do a decent enough job clearing out all of Rafah, they're likely to face more scenarios like this as opposed to guided missile attacks. In this video, you can see the guy setting up rockets on what appears to be improvised rocket launchers. Now, those are not going to be nearly as accurate or nearly as effective against the Israeli Defense Force operating inside Rafah. That means they're likely to take less casualties. And this is the environment that we want to keep Hamas in while the IDF continues to push into the north and deal with the Hezbollah threat. But ultimately, at the end of the day, after they're done with Hezbollah in the north, they're going to have to resurge into Gaza in order to deal with Hamas. And in my opinion, this is a very strategic mistake by Israel. They should finish the fight with Hamas before they start dealing with Hezbollah. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. If you want, you can give me a follow on X at AngerTab, AngerTab, or you can just search my name, Matt Tardio, and it will pull up. Here I post up-to-date information all of the time, Monday through Friday, and sometimes on Saturday and Sunday, situation dependent for what's going on. Peace, love, and happiness. Ladies and gentlemen, God bless. I am out of here.